Okay, it is, at least according to my clock, 6 o'clock. And so we will start our, October meeting of the Westland Public Safety Advisory Board. I'm Tom Friedland, I am the chair. We can go through, do we need to do the minutes first or introduction?
Intro.
Okay. So to my left is our latest member of our advisory board who will introduce himself and say embarrassing things.
I try not to. Mike okay. Salaggio is the name, and I just joined and promptly missed my first meeting because of a pre-scheduled event. And so this is my first attending meeting, and I am very interested in improving the state of public safety in West Lynn, as I'm sure we all are.
Okay.
It's not too embarrassing.
No.
Chris Duncan, board member and scribe for the group.
Your predecessor's family's here too, by the way.
Excuse me.
My oldest son, Evan.
Yeah.
Oh, Evan's mom. We love him.
We're going to steal one of her kids. That's what all there is to it. The ones that are left in high school.
Oops.
And.
Okay.
We could discuss that down towards community comments under the agenda. We have a few other things to address this evening.
Evening.
Morning.
Just
afternoon.
Just arrived from the airport.
That's good.
That was pretty good.
You made good time.
Yeah, just came from the fires in L.A.
Okay. For the record, would you introduce yourselves and identify?
Mark Gilbert, member of the committee.
And opposite me at the table is
Peter
some
McKinley.
Family that is friends of ours.
Yeah. My sons were the recipients of the scholarships to the driving course, so they were asked to come tonight.
We want to pick their brain.
Ethan, and this is Elijah.
Welcome. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Judy Wickman, board member.
And I'm Peter Mahoney. I'm with the West End Police Department.
Okay. We have our agenda in front of us, hopefully. I'd like to review and approve this. I do have one change I'd like to do, is just move the discussion regarding teen driver safety under old business up to the top of old business so that our guests can talk and leave at their leisure and not have to go through the rest of the meeting if not necessary. Is there any other changes, modifications, adjustments to the agenda? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We also have left over our approval of the meeting minutes from our August meeting. Last month, we did not have a quorum, so we could not approve the draft minutes. You should have been able to pick a copy tonight. If not, the audio was on the website. If you have read that, be ready to comment. If you have not read it, please quickly do so.
Just that it's still Mark Gilbert, not Mark Gabriel.
Oh.
It's only been 2 years. It's okay.
I wrote that down because I caught that. Yeah.
It's all right.
Spell check just doesn't catch it, does it?
Move to approve the minutes.
As amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We'll move on. That brings us to our old business, and we've adjusted this to bring our teen driver safety discussion to the top of the list. We did have a little bit of a discussion about this last informal meeting, and one of the reasons I'd asked you to bring our two of our recipients in tonight, I tried to get our third, and I didn't get an answer on the email, was we have not seen a whole lot of response or interest from the students, and we're wondering what we're doing wrong. Is it a program that obviously you two enjoyed it, at least from the email I got back, and I am assuming your brother said that it was a good project for you. First, what can you give me some feedback on the class itself?
Yeah, the class is wonderful. It's set up.
Do me one big favor, because my ears don't work very well, and if you can move your hand away from your lips, I can sometimes.
So the class was wonderful. It was set up beautifully, and I think the way they ran it was just magnificent. In terms of, do you want me to answer the question about?
Well, let me just, you liked the class.
Yeah, so.
Did you feel that it was of benefit? Did you notice a change in your abilities?
When I was done with the class, I noticed I was much more confident in the way that I drive. And it also was, in addition to that, I noticed that, like, I knew the limits of my car, and I knew what it could take. And I always think, like, when I'm on the freeway, I think, oh, you know, what if I have to stop right now? I'll put on all the brakes, what will happen? I never knew what that felt like until I, like, was in the class, because that's one of the things we did. Along with, like, you know, breaking suddenly, all this sort of stuff.
How much driving experience did you have going in? When did you first start driving on your permit or whatever?
I first started driving my permit in March.
Of this year?
This year, yeah.
So you had roughly 6-7 months time. Mm-hmm. And did you feel that you were, at least with that much time, adequate to attend the class? Because one of the things they strive for is they don't want somebody who's just got their permit and still learning the basics. Mm-hmm. Was that a good guesstimate on time as far as?
I definitely
as
when, feel like I was confident when I before I took the class.
To do the class,
yeah.
And you felt even more confident afterwards.
No, there's no requirement.
No, they generally want you to have had about 6 months of driving experience before taking the class, just so that you know that the right pedal is the gas and the left is the brake.
I would say hour-wise, probably 30, at least 30 hours under their belt before taking a class like
okay.
that.
And I don't remember which of you is who, so I don't want to butcher one's name
this
versus
Ethan.
Ethan?
Senior.
And
Elijah's a sophomore.
Elijah, okay. How about you? How was it for you? Now, are you younger or older than your brother?
He's older, I'm younger.
Okay.
I thought it was really fun, and I thought it was set up very well. The only part that maybe wasn't set up too well is at the beginning when the students are trying to find their drive instructors. That was just pretty unorganized, and that I really liked it.
Okay. How about your confidence level? Did you feel a change in that?
Yeah, I feel much more confident driving
now than before. And before you went to the class, did you mention it to any of your friends at school?
Yeah, a few.
And had they heard about it, or were they familiar with it, or were they interested? Or
They were interested, but I don't think any of them have heard of the class before.
Okay. I know that fills up quickly, and that's one thing we're trying to do is get some of the information out in time that we're kind of getting other people to join in to the class.
May I ask how do you guys send out the information to the class?
I'm sorry, I didn't
how
hear.
How do we get the information out to the class?
That's the question. I want to know how you learned about it.
And what's the best way? We'd love to hear you guys say, this is the best way for you to communicate something like this to people at the high school or to...
We had the school resource officer had said they'd put it in, what is your daily announcement, the Roar?
Yeah.
And I don't know what other communication was done with that. We had approached the Youth Advisory Council that your brother was involved in a couple of years ago to see if they could in turn promote it, but I don't know if anything got out other than it going back to the same thing with the Roar. How would you... what within the school would be a great way to communicate the information about the class, the fact we're opening a scholarship. That's one of the reasons I brought you here today is it's been a while since I was in high school, and things have changed. I know that. You now can use calculators in math class.
I saw it in the principal's newsletter that includes the weekly one that goes out and includes, you know, here's the athletic information, et cetera.
Okay, does that something the parents get?
Right, I think you guys get it as well, but I'm looking specifically for detailed information, and I honestly don't know if kids saw it, if mm-hmm. they would probe further and say, oh, this is a class I definitely want to be mm-hmm. involved with, I do feel like they're...
It's something where we kind of need a mixture of the students and the parents kind of both getting that information and working together on it. And we're trying to figure out how best to make that connection.
Did it make it into the tidings this year?
I'd asked it to be put in. I never heard that it got in there or not.
I don't know if it ever got in there.
Mr. Chair.
No, yes.
I just wonder, what I'm hearing from the participants is they come out of the program feeling more confident as drivers. They're learning more about the limitations of the vehicle, like how mm-hmm. to conduct themselves in a safety situation. I would imagine also that there's some insurance companies that look fondly upon that. I don't know if anyone offers a discount. And so my question is...
Some yes, some no. And it's not specific, really, as to who does give a discount on for this particular class.
Sure. My question is, might it make more sense to focus outreach on parents as opposed to the students directly? Because I don't know how much high school has changed since I was there, but I don't know how eager I would be to engage in what was pitched as a safety class.
Mm-hmm. And that is kind of the quagmire we're in. A couple of years ago, and it's still up on YouTube, Coin News did about a 2-minute news blurb on the class the day of or the weekend of the class. So there was an after-the-fact type discussion. And unfortunately, the next class is set up, so it's 6 months later. And usually the registration for that next class hasn't opened at the time that one class is going, but once it does open, it fills quickly. And they usually have, for Portland, about 30 spaces for students. And there are some... there is a possibility that older drivers, even parents, could get into it if there is space available. That isn't happening with the Portland program. It's well received and attended, but our goal, our purpose that we even got involved with this was to, do something that can help make West Lynn a little bit of a safer environment for the teen driver. We can only send so many to it. We hopefully will have others get interested in it. As a result of your participation, I'm assuming your friends, at least when you came back, you were telling them how great it was, or did they get jealous? Now I want to go too. Wait, when's the next one?
I would definitely target the parents more okay. than the students, if the students at
what
home.
Is?
And I would wonder if you could consider outreach to driving courses. They went through ODEC, but I think the school has driving courses, and the parents are the ones who are enrolling the children mm-hmm. in the driving.
ODEC has their own high-speed driving deal where you do skid. Do you guys do skid cars and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So ODEC has their own version of that, because my kids
right.
did ODEC, and they did that high-speed driving course down at Kaiser Volcano Stadium. They built one of those skid cars.
That's another route that yeah. I would suggest. I don't think targeting the students is going to be as successful.
For the record, ODEC stands for, I think it's... Oregon Driver Education
Course.
Yeah. Okay, but I have to put it in the...
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Tom, I had a contractor for a while, and he had a 17-year-old son at Westland High School, and I told him about this course, and he said, I wouldn't even bother targeting it as a safety course to the kids, but mm-hmm. if you say it's designed by BMW, every male will be interested. And he said, you focus on the BMW side, you're going to get more teenage boys interested mm-hmm. than if you say it's a safety, kind of like, oh, let's improve mm-hmm. our driving, it's like yawn. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you guys want to be safe, but it's not like the first thing that you jump out and go, oh, sign me up.
So you saw it in the principal's newsletter, for lack of a better term for it. Is there any other communication the school routinely does to parents?
I believe I've seen it in the tidings before.
Okay.
When I signed Evan up for it 2 years ago. That mm-hmm. might have been where I've seen it. But I definitely know it was in the principal's
okay.
email.
And did you hear from any other parents that they were aware of it or comment on it, or just... passed it on and told them to get their tail in gear.
There's a lot of information in those weekly emails, so yeah. I think you have to kind of find your moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mark? Part of the application process to get a, what is it now, $90?
$95 for the class.
$95, whatever we call it.
Scholarship.
Sponsorship, yeah. Scholarship. Is that the student writes something either before or after?
We've had a brief discussion of how they can make Westland a safer place for teen drivers. Something to that effect.
So I guess, is it the parent that then gets to write that for us to help determine that the scholarship is being given to one versus the other? Because at some point, having raised three teens all in the house at the same time, you've got to find something that motivates them to say, yeah, this does interest me. I am engaged with it. So I understand that parents make decisions. We write the checks after they're 14. You can't ask about their health insurance stuff because they're allowed to be adults. But at some point, we have to get the kids engaged to, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the next steps, if you will, would be, is there any kind of service to community stuff that you guys do in the high schools, in some course at all, where it's kind of like, I'll never forget the pizza place over by Safeway Center had all the memorials when those teen driver went off on Pete's Mountain. On some scree on the side of the road, and right about that time was when the car driving safety became much more prominent in the community. So is there anything like that kind of a teaching everybody to be careful with each other and being safe in the way they interact socially, is there anything like that that goes on at the school where it's kind of like a social service project that you have to do for credit? In any of the school classes
or
courses.
Study about something in the community or share
community
some
projects, anything like that.
Current events. God, is that still done?
So, I don't think there's no community service hours that need to be required in order to graduate. Is that what you're asking?
Or are there any other programs, even if it's not to graduate, because graduation has the state, Salem Capital has to be involved.
And
in all that
and it doesn't necessarily have
but
to be.
Just service, community service as part of a general citizenship grade.
And maybe not even with the school, but just in general, say through maybe a religious institute or
scouting.
Some post activity, the meeting or club that you belong to. Or
yeah, I'm in Boy Scouts. And
okay.
There definitely is, you need a certain amount of service hours.
And in Scouts, have they ever brought up something as far as a program within the community might be of interest to you guys as members, or might be a community project or something like that?
Are you talking about the project being promotion of this?
Not so much that. I'm just looking at sharing the information. Sharing the information would, if we're looking at, just making the information available to Scouts in addition to the to Scoutmasters or whatever the... I was a Cub Scout. I was a den mother or something like that, I think, at that time. It's sexist. just where, hey, there's this thing coming up. Maybe you're interested in it. I'm just looking at avenues to put it out.
Avenues to get the word out.
You guys know what Nextdoor is? Mm-hmm. Not to sound stupid, is there a teenage version of that at Westland where you all have sort of an electronic bulletin board where you just do quick, brief bullets of information to each other?
No, I do think one this is a quick idea, but putting a simple poster up just around the high schools or multiple posters, mm-hmm. and those are seen a lot because
cool.
They're up for a while, and putting that up, I don't know, a month or two in advance whenever
mm-hmm.
you need to be signed up. I think an old-fashioned poster works just as fine as online because that's something that's seen every day. So that's just my idea.
And you just go to the office and get permission to put it up?
Probably, yeah.
Yep.
I know they're probably pretty strict about what
goes
up.
And again, and then possibly going to the leadership, so our like ASB, student body president, if one of you guys talk to them and just they know well more about the better ways to get
the
to get
mechanisms of communication. What do you guys use to communicate? Talk among yourselves. Obviously, you've got what's the latest social media
Snapchat.
Which one?
Snapchat.
Okay. And does that have any input from outside sources?
You can put up ads, but that's pretty expensive.
Okay, I'm a social media idiot, so I'll leave that to somebody else who's got a ground out of yes.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. First meeting.
No.
Is there a recognition process from the chair? Or
no, we're pretty informal.
Fair enough. I think Instagram and Facebook are always still really good standbys for getting information mm-hmm. out. That has the added benefit of being able to micro-target certain populations.
Mm-hmm.
You could, for example, serve an ad that addresses a certain age range of people that are fans of the Westland High School Facebook page itself mm-hmm. or their families or their friends.
Mm-hmm. One limitation just on that we have with using social media is under the auspices of city rules and regs that there are some parameters, and we usually end up going through our outreach person with the city to, you know, here's what we need, you do what makes it legal for that, but that always has a delay in the process though as well.
Sure, but I think you know, well planned out,
mm-hmm.
You can get it dialed in pretty precisely. In addition, the poster idea, you guys indicated that you had experience in this class with, I think, skidding or
skid car. Like, it's a platform.
They hose down an area of asphalt and force them to lose control.
Like bootleggers turns, neutrinos turns, out-of-control cars,
mm-hmm.
braking suddenly, going fast.
You guys have the outriggers on the cars?
No, they just make their own skid pan using their own vehicle.
You guys don't have those?
It's kind of like an EVOC class.
EVOC now is they have outriggers, so they can do that at much slower speeds.
If we're pitching to parents, I think that the safety course, the confident, you know, giving your teen drivers more confidence on the road, hopefully mollifying your insurance company's concerns, it's great if we put a poster up at the school. I would be way into those particular features that I just mentioned of the class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot of kids walking by that and saying, eh, I can do that at home.
Do you take pictures of that thing?
Of course, it's like how to drive slow.
Do you take pictures mm-hmm. of that thing?
They got some video.
I think putting up a cool picture of some skid marks in a car on a track, I think, like she said.
No, I would love to get, you know, permission and some place to just have the news clip from COIN made available, but it's still somebody has to pay attention to it for 2 minutes, and I don't know what venue would make it best for exposure. But
I think Clackamas County Sheriff did a drive the cop thing, right?
I don't know.
So one of my friends was on COIN too because she was in the car
mm-hmm.
you know, with the cop, and I think what they seem to have is pretty similar to this. Because they, you know, drove around a track in a car with a cop right next to them, or a sheriff. But I think maybe talking with them and seeing what they did to attract students would be a
mm-hmm.
beneficial
good idea.
Is your video appropriate? Is there any bad language in it?
My video
yeah.
of car skating? It's my dad took it. It's pretty appropriate.
I'm just asking. Because one forum we have is we can... The police department has their own Facebook page,
yeah.
and we could do a kind of a safety deal. Put that video up, right, and run that thing, and you know, just hey, we just did this; it was awesome. Blah blah blah.
Do you want to give me your card, and I can give it to my husband?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I really liked your comment about knowing more about your car and the limitations. Yes. Yeah. That was really pertinent to feeling in control and. You know, sudden gully washer of rain comes, those ones where it's just like goes from nothing to downpour. You can't see the trucks in front or beside you. Knowing what your brakes can do, knowing what your steering can do, knowing what you can do, that's so critical. I mean, that to me is like the crux of the whole thing.
But you're a parent. It just has to have a skidding car in it. That's
you just have to say BMW at PIR.
Yeah, but you only drive a BMW if you show up in the BMW, right? So they don't just give you BMWs to run around with.
No, unfortunately. You had a comment?
Did you get the impression from that this was just a one-time educational situation? Or did they orientate to the fact that it's a good idea to take a course every 3 to 4 years?
No, they didn't mention that second part. When I was in the car, my my instructor, they're all race car drivers, all the instructors. He did mention that, not to be rude, but he did say that there's a lot of parents and adults that would definitely benefit.
Oh, yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah, we see them on the news.
Yeah.
My insurance.
My daughter's went through it twice. First time it was with hesitation, and she did that just before she did her behind-the-wheel test at DMV, and the confidence change in her was just phenomenal, and she wanted to go back again just to refine some of the skills, that and, have a couple of friends join her, make it, more enjoyable in that sense. But their focus is mainly to get as many students through it as possible. Ideally, if they had the ability to recycle them every couple of years, but I think their main goal is just to get that information out in that time frame when they are still learning and may need those skills that they just don't have yet from short time that they've been driving.
My insurance company offers me the option of taking a course in the defensive driver course and just start it again. It's been 3 years. And I really recommend it.
The
everything.
Street Survival has no specific association or discount set up with any of the insurance carriers, at least last time I talked to him about it, but that doesn't mean that you can't approach your agent and see if that is something that they do give a discount on if you can show verification. I don't know if that would be a viable avenue for us to even pursue, given the level that we're looking at with just a couple of students a year. And that's also another concern we as a group need to look at, is that we currently have funds for 4.5 more students. And so we as a entity, if we're looking at continuing this program beyond the spring, we're going to have to do some fundraising of some sort. And we haven't really discussed the options or avenues to pursue on that. My
What's
thoughts.
The name of the funding organization again? It's something else.
Oh, Kreiman, you would ask, wouldn't you? It's Oregon.
It's right here.
Okay.
Oregon chapter of the Sports Car Club of America.
I could remember the initials, SCCA. I couldn't remember what it stood for.
Are we through with these guys?
Unless you can think of something else that might help us have a better understanding of how
to
reach out. But yeah. I appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, for sure.
I hope that you guys, find that the skills you learned are going to be helpful. I hope that you're talking to your friends about it and let them know that there is going to be a scholarship for the spring class. The spring class is in March. I believe it's March 15th. I just got that the last week. And we will probably open up the applications right after the first of the year. So it doesn't make sense to try and do it leading into the Christmas holiday, so catch you guys right afterwards and then try and make a selection in that time. I know the captain had suggested the idea of maybe one of the second or non-selected applicants that we maybe just guarantee them a spot into the next class and have them help with some of the marketing, spread it around a little bit as well, which I was able to reach one of the other applicants, and they're at least interested in that. So any other suggestions about the program or how we're putting it together or trying to outreach to you, your age bracket? Because I don't know what the current interests are. I don't know what the best way to, or what the interests are, or where to put up something to get your attention outside of, putting up, $100 bill in front of your face or something like that. That might work. Free BMW.
Well, we'll look at putting up your video on our website, on our Facebook page. I know that we recently reached out to all the neighborhood associations and ask them to become followers of our page, because that's how we're going to do safety updates. If, I don't know what neighborhood you guys live in, but so we, you can at least look at your neighborhood and see police activity, this is what's going on, kind of a deal. So you get a few more parents looking at it that way. I'm sure the kids no longer have Facebook. But we can hit it from both sides and see what we get.
But if, if you think of something, let us know.
Okay.
In the meantime, I appreciate you coming in, and you're welcome to stay. But,
but why?
I'm sure dinner is probably getting cold. So.
I fed them before we got here.
Ah, thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I mentioned that the quote, Defense of Driving Crime Project, is 1995 through the American Safety Council or something like that. So
$20, that's it.
It's a 6-hour commitment on time, on my time. And I get a $40 discount a year on my insurance. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
Online. Really well.
Any other comments under the teen driver safety?
Well, we're talking about collecting funds for the program going forward. And as one of the original funders on the program, I thought it was a 503 or some other kind of nonprofit.
It, well, where we are putting the money now is a designated
501c3. When I go to their website, I don't see that advertised, so I'll call them and confirm that.
I can send Karen an email, too, and see if they...
Karen McCoy?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I still have her email address as well, so
It's Karen McCoy something. I don't know if it's Gmail or whatever, so it should be easy to track down.
All right. I beg your pardon, Mr. Chair. Who's a... online list of all the nonprofits operating in the state of Oregon at the Department of Justice website. What's the organization?
Oregon Chapter of Sports Car Club of America.
Four and a half more people.
Well, my thought in reaching out is that, you know, the Chamber of Commerce routinely has sort of a business gathering like once a week, and I think it's early in the morning. I haven't looked into the Westland chapters or Chambers program, but there is a business group that meets, and we might want to make a pitch there to see if any of the businesses want to contribute in, just for adding their name to a list of contributing to I don't know what some business in Oregon or at West Lynn. That would be one thought. I have not thought too much further on that, just because I've had a few other things in the air at the same time. But anything else that I think we need to address when we get into our goals and planning for the end of the year report.
On that idea, Tom. I guess the only thing I would do is check in with the city council, because we're formed under the city council.
Right.
If we start having business groups in the community become sponsors of a program of a group like ourselves that's supposed to be operating under city council, I don't know what the rules are around that.
I don't do either, and our liaison isn't here tonight, so.
I'm glad she stayed home if she's got typhus.
Yeah, please don't
bring that in.
Anyway, that we can move at least into the next month's discussion.
Typhus is from rat bites.
anything updated on any of the disaster preparedness topics?
I have a big old fat meeting coming up on Sunday, November 19th, for 10 to 15 families. If anybody feels like just joining me for the heck of it, that would be great, since Amy was going to track me and she's no longer with us.
Okay.
If anybody feels like coming. It is a woman who had one of the original ones from Grand Oaks a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And she said, so many people have moved in and out, I just figured we need to redo it. So I gave her a big pat on the back for pushing this along. And she said she's just putting that date down there. She wasn't going to give people options. She just said this is crazy. So
where at?
It is part of Hidden Springs that I don't know, but in the general area, people here.
November 17th?
Sunday, is that?
I don't know. The 11th is 17th. A Monday. I know that much.
Yeah.
The calendar.
17th, yeah. And it's going to be probably like 4 or 5 in the afternoon or something. I found historically that often the best time for Map Your Neighborhoods are late Sunday afternoon because people have already done all their weekend stuff and they haven't like gotten around to overseeing kids' homework yet.
I know we've bounced this idea and slight shift on of putting a little tickler in any of the city Facebook or social media. We did that after the Ridgecrest quake. Have we got any other ideas for, you know, maybe every other month or something like that?
Well, my concern is that on the online newsletter that I get, the city newsletter, there was some erroneous information about Map Your Neighborhood, and that I mentioned it, and I thought that would fix it, and the next time it still had erroneous information. So I don't know what it takes other than showing up in somebody's office and saying, I need 10 minutes of your time to make sure we're all on the same page.
Well,
I couldn't find any this last time I went to.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. If we can draft a slide that they can stick in on a Facebook thing, so it's maybe once a month, once every other month, that just a disaster training tip. You know, I mean, we did the Ridgecrest one. I forgot how I captioned it. That you know, where are you going to be for the next one or something like that. But you know, what we're coming up into the winter season. We just had this meeting of climatologists or meteorologists from Oregon that had, maybe we're going to get 7 snowstorms, maybe we're not going to get any, but at least they're talking about that. You know, maybe we need to just put something in for the next time that's talking about preparedness should you get snowed in. And maybe plot something out for once a month, once every other month, that we can at least have the idea, put some artwork together, and give it to Social Media City to push out into the...
I can work on that because I'm doing one for the library right now that they're willing to put up on their bulletin board that you see as soon as you walk into the library. I want something that catches the eye that, you know... And I want to be accurate. It's like, contact us at westlandready@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard to point in that direction, and I have it on my phone. If a message comes up, I know about it immediately, and I respond away.
Maybe, I don't know who your contact is at the library. Do they have anything set up like an ongoing, like a video or something like that when you come into the library about information? Because I did that one PowerPoint that can be set up on a cycle that runs about a minute or so.
I've never seen anything like that at the library. Okay. Go through that. But that bulletin board's seen by a lot of people. And if you make it eye-catching, I mean, you know, it's got to be eye-catching. And
I'm just thinking where we can get some exposure on.
And they do, they're pretty good about, like, even that newsletter, that little news blurb that comes out in your water bill, they have been putting those in there. The online, I'm not on Facebook, so I don't do the Westland Facebook, but my husband does it's not the next door, it's the other one. It's I guess it's the City of Westland Facebook. He follows that. Mm-hmm. So I could get ideas from him as a reader, what would catch your attention, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Another thing that's really cool is I was reorganizing my office files. I have a whole section of my file drawer of, you know, Map Your Neighborhood and stuff like that. And I pulled out this old file that I think Grant had written, and a couple of pages had gotten stuck together that I didn't know about, and I was going through them one by one. It has a list of about 24 people, their email and their phone numbers, who are interested in Map Your Neighborhood from 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's about the time that they're going, oh, yeah, I'd like to redo that. I've had several people say, I did this 4 years ago, I'd like to redo it. So I'm going to go through and call every single one of them and ask if they're willing to host a meeting. I mean,
can't hurt.
It's got at least 20 names on there.
Okay.
So that's another way to get some... Okay. information. So that's...
Any other disaster preparedness?
I have a question.
Yes.
So a couple summers ago for the music festival here in West Lynn, we had the booth with the tent and the awnings that we had some money that we spent on those. And we had sign-up sheets for people to say, I'm interested in having that kind of program presented to me or to present the program to my neighborhood. Are we looking at going back to that kind of forum again?
It was an epic fail. Everybody involved in it said it was an epic fail, that people were there for music. They didn't want to have to think about this. Nobody signed up. They said it was a total waste of time of the people who sat there waiting to sign people up. And they said, don't bother. I talked to,
I staffed.
Was it Ken?
I staffed a couple of them.
Was it Parks and Rec?
Well, you know, yeah, Worcestershire.
He's
I never can pronounce his name right.
Ken Parks and Rec told us that he needed to preserve those tents for paying customers that were going to pay for spaces. But David Baker and I mostly staffed that summer. And I tell you, I signed up probably 30 or 40 people mm-hmm. who filled out name, email, just like the list you just described. I was waiting for you to say it's from 2 years ago.
I was gonna say,
yeah, that was our summer because I made sure I was there for
that
Thursdays.
Was, what year was that?
That's like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, and when was yours?
About that. I did it toward the end of the
interesting.
Summer.
Interesting.
But I was there with Christine and only the kids came up for the swag.
Which,
we had no adults, nobody that
interesting, kind of all over the place, like the emergency prep meetings, that there can be high interest and then nothing.
Either, who knows who the
because when
the
Christine
entertainer was.
Yeah. Stepped down, she turned back over the swag to me because I bought all that swag. So,
and I have that in my garage.
You have it in the garage. I hope not, because the candy really attracts things.
Well, she's going to get rid of it next or later this week.
No. The candy disappeared.
And we did the old-time fair also. And that,
so
again,
that's what I'm saying, is there's some other ways for us to get word out that gets people, adults, walking by, and I wonder if that's something that this committee wants to invest in or not. Because, you know, we're just hearing him saying that poster is a way for you to get our attention on the high school. So if you're at Old Time Fair, maybe instead of the summer music festivals, concerts, whatever they call them, maybe that's something we should commit to or have a conversation with the person in charge of Old Time Fair and say, hey, can we have a booth?
Well,
go ahead, Chris.
We do it. We had a shared booth.
With police?
Yes. Yeah. If we do it, I really want it to be a joint effort. This next time, it really.
Well, yeah, they serve as a good draw.
Felt, well, it was.
Well,
but there wasn't any kind of. They didn't really. Most of the people that staff there don't even know who we are, and that I'm going to talk about that.
Okay.
As
in
far
a couple
as
of seconds
for next year.
Yeah.
But I think we need to go at it differently if we do that next time.
More like a
the
partnership.
The one I'm most excited about is if we could table at Market of Choice, you know, something like that, and to say, heard about another shaker down off the coast.
Yeah.
The
fire.
The
fires.
I mean,
yeah.
look at the utilities cutting power.
I woke
power.
Up at 4:30 this morning to the LAFD sending out a blast cell phone alert for the fires were moving west. And Santa Monica was on alert to evacuate. So
I don't think the venue of fun and entertainment, like the Old Time Fair or Music in the Park, may be the best one to hitting someplace, you know, where you might be in Safeway or Market of Choice, and that might be, you know, a better option to look at, and that something to consider moving forward.
Yeah, they had some management changes that. One of the stores, so it's kind of like, you know, you mm-hmm. don't want to catch them their first week on the job because they're, like, overwhelmed. But, yeah, I'm not shy about getting to the right people, that's for sure.
Any other disaster preparedness? Yes, sir.
I was going to bring up ideas for the coming year under item 5.
That's under new business.
Regarding this topic. I'll just wait until that.
Okay. We're about to step into that anyway. If there is nothing else on that, we'll move down to new business. And we'll just go ahead and hear what you had, your thoughts were at that, because that may incorporate into what we're doing for the end of the year and next year's plans.
In terms of the Master Neighborhood Outreach, and I think those few years ago I was interacting with Grant on that. So I know that effort's been ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really seen a kind of central hub or repository for someone that's interested in it to go to on their own time. I think it's one of those things where you either catch a tabled event or...
Well, we do have flyers, and we leave them in various places, and they do have our contact on the bottom, westlandready@gmail.com.
And then what happens when...
And they contact I check.
They go to her.
And then I just say, would you like to host a map? I explain what Map Your Neighborhood is. And a couple of people say, oh, well, I can just do it myself. That is not easy to do. And I try to explain that we have a program that's already tried and proven that in 60 to 90 minutes, we can have an entire game plan for your neighbors as to what to do right after a disaster, and suggestions for what to have in the way of preparatory materials. I managed a disaster restoration firm for 6 years. I lived through the Columbus Day storm, you know, no power, all that stuff. You know, and Chris has too. And we've got ideas that we can help people with when they say, well, what about this, what about that? We can actually answer them. Whereas if you're hosting it yourself, you go, well, gee, I don't know. I don't know who to ask.
What?
But I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Trying to be the repository where they contact me and I say, I'm happy to come out and do this meeting with you and your neighbors.
So when I hear about, like, the email address, the posters, that sort of thing, especially with posters, unless there's a place to go, and people are just more likely to go to a website or a Facebook page than to take the initiative to email someone, take the initiative to call someone, or even write down the phone number. If there is a site where it could be set up to say, you know, put your information in here, are you interested in more information, what are the, you know...
Interactive.
What do we have now?
Instead of checking email, you could just access an online database and see what was new.
Yeah.
And say, oh yeah, this person just filled out the thing.
What do we have now? It goes to our web page, and then there's a link on our page to Map Your Neighborhood or Disaster.
There's on the City of West Lynn has a link to Public Safety Advisory Board and a link to Map Your Neighborhood.
Right, but if
people can be on that website.
We have a sub page somewhere that's tied into the police department's web page, I think, where it comes up and it says a little blurb about us. I found it the other day, but I didn't look that hard. But I don't know if we have on that page any links to disaster preparedness ideas or other groups, or have a, you know, does it have a list in it, much like the City of Irvine had that I directed to a couple months ago.
Yeah, I might talk to him.
Or is it, you know, just go to this dead page where it says contact from Map Your Neighborhood. You know, have we updated or looked at tying in some of the other resource entities that somebody may want to look at?
Hey, if somebody wants to help me, I am not web savvy at all.
Yeah, I mean, even if we get permission to link to some other cities'
lists. Michael, help me.
That's my thought.
I mean, I used to sell corporate computer systems. I don't know how to put a web thing together. I mean, it's crazy.
And it may be more flexible. I know the library has a foundation that's a separate CO501C3 that coordinates with the public entity.
Cool.
Maybe that's a model that we might think of pursuing if we had a 501C3 that could do things like set up its own website and outreach plan, that sort of thing, and then get information to the PSAB for implementation.
That would be great. I don't know.
I feel like deja vu all over.
I know.
We have this conversation at this
every year.
Every year.
At least once a year.
And then the city council and their conversations with the attorneys for city council came back to us, they said, you guys can't do that, but maybe the city council can set up a 501c3 and do it through there.
You guys are an advisory board to the council.
Right. Yeah. So we advise the council. The council has to decide it wants to do this.
And but as far as linking information to existing websites, other than getting permission from those websites to do it, I don't think there's a problem with that. And I don't know what resources.
Don't we link through TVFNR? They have a fantastic website, don't they?
Oh, they have a great website.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that what Stephon Meyer
said? There shouldn't be a problem in linking to that because we are already contracted.
Yeah, they've
with
got. They have.
We just need permission.
TVFNR has probably.
We just need permission from TVFNR.
They have as much, if not more, information than the Red Cross.
Okay.
They are amazing.
Okay.
Their information is deep.
Good.
But that's great for information.
Yeah.
But again, getting back to scheduling the meetings.
Right. But as was pointed out, a lot of people may not necessarily be ready to take the class or do the class, but you know, want to get some things together in the interim, and at least what do I have to go, what do I have to buy, what should I look at? You know, there should be some self-help in there as well.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
I'm not saying to drive them in that direction. I'm just saying that it'll open it up rather than shut them down.
Well, yeah, and quite frankly, anybody that even thinks about it for 2 seconds can go to Red Cross or FEMA or anything and get a huge list of what supplies to buy. So that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
The thing is, this is such a compacted, well-planned program that instead of them going off and spending hours researching by themselves, if they just give me 90 minutes,
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But for me, finding a 90-minute window is not the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
So,
and but if neighbors do it together, that's why it works so well. It's like
if you and
your immediate neighbors go, oh, well, then we can have a potluck afterwards, and yeah, this is cool. Yeah, we're going to be relying on each other in case of an accident.
But, you know, the thing is that I know a lot of people in this environment are just, you know, trying to find a little something. Well, yeah, I need, okay, so I should maybe get some gloves and stick that here. And, yeah, they're going to do it incrementally.
A go bag.
And at some point, yeah, they may do the class, but for the time being, while I'm thinking about it, the earthquake in Ridgecrest, well, let me do a couple things. And they may not be ready to commit to the 90-minute thing.
But we've got to be careful not to call it a class, because that sounds very passive, where you just sit back, whereas a planning session is interactive.
I think my thought is that we should have sort of both to some degree.
Well, we definitely need to be in the Westland Facebook page, which I have never seen in my life, because I don't do Facebook by choice.
Well, yeah. Okay.
So Mike and I'll talk. Maybe we can have coffee sometime and figure this out.
Love it.
Anything else under ideas or topics for the coming year? Yes, Chris, your hand went up before anybody else. I saw it.
Okay. Well, just one of the goals that I have, because it's taken a long time to get back up to kind of full force again. We've had a year of getting updates of who was at Academy, who's been... But I think we're at a point to where I really would love to have each officer, if we can, if it's legit, or a pair of them, come in and just share a little in a minute's time what their perspective is of patrolling West Lynn. You know, as I read back over all the different stated purposes, there's two different ones, depending on where you go on the website, which I think is interesting. But there's still emphasis on crime, crime, crime. I didn't even see disaster on one of them, you know. But it's monitoring perceptions and hearing their... I mean, not that your reports are not valuable, but I think it's a way that we can... As we see them out on the street, there's Officer Huntsman. Now we know because he came, and gave us a mental health.
We'll have to kick him out so he'll talk to us honestly.
Presentation, but I think it would be great to have them, even when they see us, that they know that we're also liaisons, ambassadors for people who are interested in them as well as the overall.
Maybe we can test the waters the first couple of meetings and have a couple rotate in, or maybe do it quarterly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just...
Schedules and logistics are challenging, but I'd like to see it as a goal.
Yeah.
By the end of next year, we've at least met everyone.
A couple of them.
So a couple times a year, right, these guys do shift bids, and so we have new people on afternoons, on the afternoon shift. This meeting is during afternoon shift. Day shift goes home at 2, and the night shift doesn't start till 8 p.m. So we can certainly parade the afternoon guys in here for a couple of meetings, right? You get to meet them. You can ask them. You can ask them anything you want. You can talk about the perspective. I will make them available to you. The caveat being, right, if the radio squawks, they go.
Oh, absolutely. And, just have it, a PD minute right at the beginning so that they can go.
That's easy.
And I can give
meet
a one-minute.
Meet your neighborhood officer, but I think that
easy.
Would really...
I know, like, we brought in Hoffman, was that this year? Late last year, maybe, we brought Officer Hoffman
for
in.
The
DRE
stuff
for
you. Oh, DRE, we also had mental health earlier this year.
We have a brand-new sergeant that's part of the Clackamas County SWAT team. Has been on there for 10 years. You guys can ask them whatever you want. That kind of stuff.
And that's paid time. It's not on their break or anything?
It is not on their break, correct. It is their paid time.
And I could do a 1-minute synopsis of what we're trying to do to prepare citizens to be more self-reliant and take extra work away from you guys in case of a disaster. So the fire department I met with at the company, the Neighborhood Association picnic last year, didn't even know who we were, that there was such a thing. So letting the first responders know, well, here's what we're trying to do to help citizens.
Well, either that or do they have a pre-shift briefing that you could take a couple minutes and through as well?
We do briefing 3 times a day, 6 a.m., just to prevent you from having to do it for 2 sides of the week, 3 shifts a day. What we probably do is film you, so we just play it. You can do it one time. But yeah, we do a quick brief. We do a brief morning briefings at 6. Afternoon starts at noon, and night shift starts at 8, currently.
Just a brief thing of what we do, and that way you don't have to repeat it 60 times throughout the year.
Yeah. That's easy.
Moving on, and we'll work that in as an idea to put on our goals for next year. We do have, well, first off, we were scheduled to meet with the City Council next month on the 18th. That has been pushed back into 2020, and I have no idea why. I don't really care. One of the things that we need to look at in that same sense, and I'm trying to get my calendar up, November being the weird month that it is, normally we would be meeting on
the
25th, which is the week of Thanksgiving. And I don't know if anyone's got any plans or not. We were looking at making our meeting with the City Council our November meeting. I don't have a problem in leaving it on the 18th if this room is available and meet then so we aren't interfering with the holiday, or do we want to meet on the 25th at our normal slot, which would be the fourth Monday of November, but that's in the short week with Thanksgiving.
I've already cleared the 18th, so.
Okay.
Yes, am I.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll check to see if the room is available. If it is not, we will find an alternate location. We will go with the next meeting being the 18th in lieu of our City Council meeting, so that stays the same. What we are going to try and do, and we're coming up on 7 o'clock, and I don't want to stretch this out any longer than we have to, we have to prepare an end-of-the-year report to the City Council on what we've accomplished this last year. You picked up, or might hopefully have picked up, a copy of the 2018 report, and so there are really three things that kind of need to be addressed to some degree that maybe we can do that in just a couple of minutes. What accomplishments did we have in 2019? Were there any challenges that we needed to see or overcome or see moving forward? And what do we hope to accomplish in 2020? I'd like to entertain from the group any response to those, and what I can do is then expand that to complete out the end of the year report. We can look at it on November 18, finalize it as need be, and be able to submit that before the end of the year. Mark.
First one I would submit is that in previous years, we had multiple reports from members of the community about speeding or unsafe road conditions. As a result of this committee's work to partner with the roads department and with other committees that have oversight over those kind of issues, we were able to move a lot of those complaints and traffic to the appropriate committees.
Okay.
And therefore maximize the value of the time of this committee working on its core missions of public safety.
Okay.
That was one thing I remember. And the second one was, along the same lines, working with the Public Works Department, we had the personal presentation by a member of the Hidden Springs Neighbor Association, came and did a presentation about access on walkways and sidewalks along the Pimlico and Hidden Springs area, and we were able to get his energy directed to the public works.
And wasn't it amazing how those cutouts were done?
All the sidewalks got fixed and are now ADA compliant in that area, which had not been the case.
Okay.
So I think that the committee is working correctly as a clearinghouse and redirecting issues that have been brought before it to the right place. And I think that's the success of a
That's exactly what I'm looking for. Thank you for that. Any other? Yes. What's your first name? I forgot.
Mike.
Okay. I can remember Mark. You're in my peripheral vision, so.
Fair enough. As one of the 2020 topics. This past legislative session, the state legislature did a few things on first responder wellness. There was an expansion of PTSD coverage in public workers' comp programs, requirement for wellness programs in police departments, and police intake exams for or site screenings for intake. I would be interested to know what effects both TPFNR and the Westland Police Department are seeing as a result through 2020 as those policies take effect.
Okay.
You'll see no change.
Oh, yeah?
We are, because we already required
psychs.
You're
already psychs. Addressing most
we
of
already, We already had required psych evals for our police officers. You mentioned two other ones.
There was the PTSD expansion.
Yeah. And so we already have that. If, go ahead.
The change was that the presumption is now that for a certain, if an officer has been serving for a certain amount of time, there's now a presumption that it is employment-related, as opposed to previously when the presumption, or the onus was on the officer.
On the officer to point to an incident.
Yeah, and there were not a lot of applications filed, because, of course, if that isn't able to be done and they get turned down, then it's for duty exam. So there's a lot of talk about whether or not that would actually cause any more officers to come forward and say, I've actually been dealing with this, and now that there's a presumption, I feel safer to make this application and to get.
So we've implemented two different things that are in the works right as we speak. One is we've joined with Canby, Milwaukee, and Gladstone Police Departments, and we joined with them. So the four of us have joined in on a grant from DPSST, where we have basically hired a private company called Responder Life, and they provide us with training and guidelines and stuff to be peer support. They provide us with clinicians, they provide us with the instruction. All we have to do is provide the peer supporters. So we are about three quarters of the way of getting all of our peer support members through all the training that's required. They got to do critical incident stress debrief training at the individual level, and as a group level, those are different classes. And then we have a kind of a generalized peer support training. Last week we just had our peer support training. So that's a three-day training that was held for everybody in the area. So that's one piece that's getting up and running. We're not up there yet. I've already written the policy for it. We've already submitted that to Responder Life. That's been approved. We have our peer support team identified. We know we have all the forms in place. We're literally just waiting for the trainings to all happen. Everybody gets up and running. Then we do like a handbook training day where this is how we do it. And then they do a quick training for the command staff so we know how to implement it. Because of the three command staff that are here, I'm the only one that's on the board. So on this deal.
That sounds great.
Is that something where at some point next year or along the line, you'll be looking at seeing what impact or
absolutely
that had? So.
And we've already actually had a deployment, kind of informally, because we weren't up and running yet. But, you know,
I'm just looking at putting it within the goals,
yeah,
or something
absolutely
along those lines. So, okay.
The second part of that, though, is we're going to implement an officer wellness program here with the different shift configurations we're looking at. Shift overlap allows us to do exercises and stuff. They have all kinds of funny names for it, tactical yoga, whatever you want to call it. But really, what departments around the area have learned is it reduces their sick time usage. It's reduced, actually, the workman's comp expenditures, and the officers are happier, right? We're trying to model it after what you get the most bang for your buck out of your officers. So they understand that the model shift for a police officer is a 10-hour day, 4 days a week. And so we will probably go to that. We just started our bid, so when that's up in March, April 1, all the shifts will go to a 410 at that point, allowing us to overlap and do exercises and stuff at the end of the shift.
Because they're way ahead on all that.
Yeah.
Great.
Canby, Gladstone, and what was the other community?
Milwaukee.
Any other
Yeah.
Yes.
On this, they there. If you look under the accomplishments, 20. If,
from last year.
Yeah. Do you want to look at the accomplishments of this year?
I'm going to have to create them. Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. This is our template.
Right. So I was just going to say, if you want me to plug something in.
You got something to throw
yeah.
in there.
Where the emergency preparedness fair, Chris and I talked with a few other people, and we were talking about the feasibility of it being every other year instead of every year, because we tended to get a lot of the same people coming mm-hmm. back over and over and over. And we haven't really gone anywhere with that. Like, are we going to have another one?
I think we should make it a goal for 2020.
Yeah,
it's not too much. Okay. All that rumbling going
that's,
on.
That, yeah, and, no, and that's fine.
So
I mean,
emergency preparedness fair to be determined in 2020. And then on bullet number three, we were down to, like, I think in 2018 we did more like 10 Map Your Neighborhoods, and this, so far we've only done about 6.
Okay.
But there's so many
what
people
is, what are your best estimates on Map Your Neighborhood classes between now and the end, total, including what you've got going to the end of the year? You've got this one coming up in November. I'm going to assume that's probably the last one for the year.
Planning sessions.
So how many? You said 7, 6, 3? How many?
Well, no, we've done about 6 so far, and I've got one definite one, and then there's somebody else who's literally trying to break 30 families into a couple of different
groups.
Okay,
so you've done 6. You have maybe 2 more.
Maybe 2 more, yeah.
Okay.
Because we get close to the holidays, and people yeah. just go,
yeah. Well, I just need to have something yeah. in there, and then yeah. I can change it at the last minute. Mark?
Well, with our presenters that came, our guests tonight, I would say that something for 2020 is we're looking at how to change or who to direct the communications around the program,
how
to fund it, driver safety, funding, and what's going to be allowed by the city council, what's not allowed, and ways to communicate the success of the program out after the program has occurred. The Westland PD possibility of posting on their mm-hmm. website videos of the kids, you know, being very excited about the program. Mm-hmm. So that would be another 2020 thing to, you know, feather in the cap. Did you all get the email from Mike McGrath? Just came through at 7:01.
No.
I'm resigning from the Public Safety Advisory Board. So you have an open position for 2020.
Was he here that long?
That is another goal, is to reduce turnover.
How long was he? Was
on this?
Just got it at 7:01.
No,
how was he here?
Today. I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying, didn't he just come on?
Less than a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Amy was very short. I was in
the spring. Could you add that to the minutes then? Okay.
What?
Amy Zwick never made a meeting, did she?
Yeah, one or two, but her background, I really was hoping she'd stay because she had a heavy media background, too.
Any other ideas?
Well, for 2020, one of the things we were supposed to meet with City Council about was when, is it Julie Walters or Waters?
Jules.
Walters. She, at the City Council work group in June's meeting, they discussed fire safety in West Lynn. Again, just coming from the... LeBron James' announcement that he and his family are looking for a place to stay because his house is on fire in the canyon up there in L.A. I think fire is something that's missed. I think we all get focused on you know, the great shakeout and we think big earthquake. But I think fire in our community with all the fuel that grows in all those green spaces that are unattended is something we had City Council support for. We had TVFNR support for. We have Barrington Heights, which is a fire-wise community. We had a meeting of Hidden Springs Neighbors Association in the summer in August that I attended, and the attendance there, like 16 residents of the area, said they're going to make fire-wise for Hidden Springs a goal for the future. So I think that the Public Safety Advisory Board is looking at fire-wise status for all the neighborhood associations by communicating it out to the presidents of the neighborhood associations and getting this before the City Council, since Joel's okay. already on board with it, and see if that might be a future add to the disaster readiness, okay. is fire readiness.
Well, I know that Mayor Axelrod has said that's his number one focus.
Okay.
The mayor said,
all right.
earthquake preparedness, yes, you got to do that, but he said more important to the city of West Lynn is fire.
What else? Anything else?
So that's something.
No, I'm just saying. I've got that.
I'm looking to
fill this out and flesh it out.
The mayor has it on his calendar.
Okay.
Is what I meant. It's not just the city council.
Okay.
He's pushing
I want to flesh this out as much as we can, so that next month we are just fine tuning the last little bits of it, depending on what I can accomplish over the next week.
The city council and TVFNR. They showed us the placement of additional lighted and protected crosswalks
at the Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association
really?
Meeting, three additional and more directed pathways for the students that are going to the schools in Westland, and I think that student safety in transportation or movement around the city of Westland, making that a priority.
Okay.
I know that was discussed at the Traffic Safety Advisory Board.
Okay.
Like I said, we're learning how to shuffle things to the right group.
Yeah.
Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
The last meeting I attended here was very informative. Someone came and talked about the structure behind the first responders. I forgot his name.
Yeah, the big map?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the ICS stuff.
Yeah.
More information
it's the command.
In that area would it's be helpful.
Yeah, we had that.
Because
who was the person?
I just watched the DVD
find it in the minutes.
Again on the train and what people expected and what happened.
Yeah.
It was such a big gap.
Way different.
We could get by providing more of that, a bridge could be built between the first responders and the general public.
All right. You give me a lot of homework. Let's see what I can accomplish on getting this fleshed out between now and the 18th.
So we've got a draft then for the
yeah, hopefully I will email it out to you guys in advance, assuming we have everybody's email, and we can hopefully make any minor corrections between now and then so that when we do look at it in November, it's maybe just the typos. Maybe still add some stuff, but we'll at least be able to turn it in by the end of the year with no problem. Anything else? Any updates from the PD that we have not already addressed?
Nope.
Okay. Any other community comments or?
We have a big issue in like Oswego regarding this new tower, and although I'm very interested in the radio waves and communication, I just haven't had time to. Very technical.
Well, that's a very like Oswego issue. Are you relating this to Westland?
Apparently, that big tower is going to extend the reach. And
you're talking about the radio tower for the C-800 radios?
Yes.
Cook's Bluff or something like
that. Yeah, there's 9 or 10 of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether this is going to bring the feds to us for more surveillance regarding the Patriot Act.
Oh.
Does Westland?
Well, I sit on the C-800 board meetings, and that's not the intention of that at all. It really just helps emergency personnel. There's so many dead spots out here in the county and small communities to increase radio power. So we can, when somebody keys up an emergency in these dead spots, the radio towers up on the hills help communicate our need out. Zero application for more surveillance of that kind of stuff. It's really so that if I'm in an emergency, I push my radio, somebody can hear me when I'm calling for help. That's the whole.
Very problematic.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what the C-800 program is for. It has nothing to do with more surveillance.
Are there maps that show the dead zones in this area?
You'd have to contact the C-800 board. The guy that runs that is a guy named John Hartsock. And he's the manager of that program. And that's several years. And so if there's dead spots, they'll know where it is on there, where it is, they can tell you. I know there's at least one in Lake Oswego that they're trying to put a tower up, or they have already.
Are they more concerned about privacy or radiation? Because that's nothing compared to what 5G is going to bring to the
area.
They
put in a sensitive lines, natural area.
Yeah. We may be able to get you that information.
We're 10 foot and a half.
My understanding is that the tower itself is not capable of independent listening or communication. It simply...
It's an antenna.
Yeah.
Not like Alexa.
Okay. Unless there is something else, can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
I motion we adjourn.
So second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, we are adjourned.
I just have a 40-minute presentation I'd like to share.